It's a new year. Why not learn a new language? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, January 5th. We will talk with two guests about the benefits of learning a new language and how we can get started. And we will welcome any questions that you might have or any experiences you might have. Do you speak any languages other than your first language? Why did you learn them? How do you benefit from them? Do you want to learn a new language? Why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Julie Dahl directs the Spanish Language Enrichment courses at UW-Madison and coordinates programs for 5 other languages. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Also with us is Sage Gellner, an assistant professor in French and German in continuing studies, where she coordinates the French and German programs. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having us.
And we're going to probably have to adjust this microphone, and I will have one of my producers come in and do that. Sometimes the equipment does things on its own over the weekend or when you're on vacation. So, but anyway, thanks to John Munson, by the way, for filling in for me last week. I had a lovely holiday time off, and it is good to be back. Well, let's talk a little bit, starting with Julie. You coordinate programs for 5 other languages besides Spanish. My goodness, do you know all of those languages?
No, I do not. So I speak Spanish and Portuguese and have studied a bit of some other languages. But no, I work with instructors to help develop programs for them, but they're the language experts in the other areas.
And Sage, you are a professor in French, but you coordinate French and German?
That's correct.
All right, well, I'm not sure if that's complete. I think did you adjust the switch on that? Okay, well, we'll have to make do with what we have there, and I think it should work. In any case, I apologize for the technical glitches. I mentioned earlier in the hour that I would love to relearn Spanish. I did take 3 years in Spanish in high school, and I think a semester or so in college. But then I didn't use it, and now I know things like cerveza, and that's about
important
it.
Important words, right?
Yeah. So, but I'm guessing there are a lot of people in my boat that learned a language and then didn't use it. Will I be able to learn that again?
Absolutely. I think you're very common. We see a lot of people who've had exposure to some language at some time in the past, and unfortunately, languages are hard to learn and easy to forget. But even what we've forgotten, I think, has left some sort of a good mark, I think, on our brains. And starting over isn't really starting from zero again. And as you get back into it, you'll begin to remember things that you didn't even remember that you knew that you had forgotten. So it's worth the effort to sort of brush it off and jump back in.
Well, I am considering it, especially because I was planning, my husband and I are planning a trip to Peru this summer. To see Machu Picchu, and while I probably don't have to be fluent in Spanish to go on a tour like this, I'm assuming that it would enrich the process.
Absolutely. I think even every little bit that you know, allows you to cross some barriers, right, and the people that you're going to encounter, to go into a shop, and to be able to ask a question, you know, even if it's simple. I think that's just a huge part of enriching any experience, is being able to reach out and really communicate with people.
So, Sage, I think we have fixed the microphone problem now, so let's try again. Why do you think adults should consider learning a new language?
Oh, there are just innumerable benefits to learning a new language, whether it's personal development or if you want to exercise the mind. There's a quote from the Austrian-born philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein that I really love, and he says, "The limits of my language mean the limits of my world." And so what he's saying is, in a sense, that if we learn other languages, we can experience other worlds, other ways of being, other lifestyles, belief systems and just other aspects of humanity that we might not have known about before.
Is it, though, harder as an adult to learn a new language than it would be if I would have, as it is for a child?
Well, Julie actually has some experience in that area. She has two sons and is raising them as Spanish speakers, so she can speak to that, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think kids absolutely do have an advantage in a lot of different ways, right? It was in the 40s and the 50s of the last century that cognitive scientists began to really study how changes in the brain leading up to puberty affected the way that we process language. And so there really are less of your brain is geared towards learning a language and dealing with language once you've passed puberty. So that led to the idea of a critical age hypothesis, the idea that after puberty we're bad at learning languages. The good news is that there's a lot of research being done now, like in the last 15 years, that is beginning to counter that adults are not as bad at learning languages as we think we are. In fact, in certain tasks that are given, adults outperform kids in learning a language. So the thing is, we learn differently. We're logical. Right? And we take all of that, all of our past knowledge into a new learning experience. So adults thrive in a place where they can learn a rule, right, and have to apply it to a new situation. We're good at that. We do that all of the time. And so if you can take those sort of skills into learning a language, you can do well. And kids are actually not as good at that, for example. But of course, they're always, kids are sponges in a way that we aren't. But the good news is, as an adult, you can be successful.
And the good news is that as an adult, you're motivated, and if you want to learn a language, you can. It's your choice to do so, and then you've got that motivation. I'm wondering if you see, Sage, an increase in people interested in language after a new year. Do people make this a New Year's resolution?
Oh, yes, definitely. There's a lot of good energy we have in our classes after the new year. But this is kind of year-round, and we also see a big upsurge in September with the back-to-school energy. That's another time that people are interested in either taking on a new language or getting back to the language that they studied. And I think the reason why this is so is to catch these sort of waves of energy, seasonal energy, is that learning languages is difficult work and it's important work. And the resolution part of it is a pact that you make with yourself. I resolve to do this time. And it also gives us the chance, I think, to say, well, I've always wanted to study Italian. Why not start now? Why don't now start in 2014? And then you also have a time stamp on it. I started studying Italian in 2015. Now we are. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. You gotta, just like writing those checks.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Yeah. Sage, what led you to learn different languages?
So I started French study when I was 15 years old. I participated in a summer exchange program, lived in Paris and Corsica. And for me, for French, it was love at first listen. It was really, that was the language for me. And I say that was the language for me because I had grown up around other languages, most notably German. My grandparents spoke a bit of German, and my parents as well. So German was like the thread in our family, little phrases here and there. And then also, I grew up in northern Wisconsin near the Lacoutere Indian Reservation and heard Ojibwe there and some Cree. Actually, the first foreign language text that I ever learned was a nursery song in Cree that I still sing to my children. So, and just their emphasis on the preservation of Native American languages, I think, came through. And then I took Spanish in high school, and so it was just part of the fabric of growing up. And then French became my chosen language.
And we have just a minute before a news break, but Julie, what about you? What led you to learn different languages?
I have a little bit of a similar story. My grandparents immigrated from Switzerland as adults, and so that was my father's first language, was their dialect that they spoke in the region from Switzerland. So I heard a lot of that. We had a lot of family visiting us from Switzerland. So even though no one ever actively taught it to me, I mean, I learned a little bit, not much, but I think the exposure to other languages, even if you don't learn them as a kid, is very important. It kind of opened my world. and made me learn that languages were important, and it was something that I wanted to do. And then,
well, we will check the news from Wisconsin Public Radio and from NPR as well, and get an update on our weather forecast, which is going to be very, very cold. How do you say say it's going to be cold in Spanish?
Va a hacer mucho frío.
Mucho frío. French?
Il va faire très, très froid.
That's right. And we will welcome any questions that you have for either of our guests. Maybe you have a question about picking up a new language. Do you know how to speak another language other than English? Why did you learn it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about why you should learn a new language. We're talking about the benefits of learning a foreign language and how to get started. And we're welcoming any questions you have. We're also welcoming any experiences you have. And if you know another language, why don't you call us and say good morning in your second or third language. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are happy to have with us two guest experts. Julie Dahl directs the Spanish Language Enrichment courses at UW-Madison and coordinates programs for five other languages. And Sage Gellner is an assistant professor in French and Continuing Studies, where she coordinates the French and German programs. And we have Linda in Chaseburg with us on the phone. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. You already answered my first question about learning another language as an adult. My husband and I would like to learn Spanish, and we have made some attempts at this, but we would like to know, is it better to try to find a class, or should we get something like Rosetta Stone? What's a good way to go about this?
Yes, we did talk a little bit about why it might be easier in some ways for children to learn a foreign language. But is there anything further on that, Julie, when it comes to you said that there, in certain ways, it's easier for adults to learn a foreign language.
Well, I think adults need to play to their strengths, right? So, you know, we do well when we have a structure. So I think a class is a great way to start if you're really starting from zero, because it will give you a structure. You're having a professional who can help you lead you. How do you get started, right? And kind of give you a pattern. You have to have a plan. And then I think you look for lots of ways to reinforcement. We need huge reinforcement. So the U.S. Defense Department divides languages into categories based on how easy or hard they are for an English speaker to learn them. And so, for example, a category one language would be Spanish. And they say we need about 800 hours of active contact with that language to become like a high intermediate speaker. So, you know, you're going to need a lot of things. So a class would be just a beginning. You know, every way that you can find to reinforce that and seeing the same thing in as many ways as possible, I think, is going to make you more successful. You know, we don't just get something once. And actually, kids don't either.
Yeah.
They need lots of reinforcement as well.
Mm-hmm. Sage?
I would say, too, that we live in probably the best possible time to learn a second language. The 21st century provides us with such a rich number of ways that we can establish daily, consistent contact with the language. And that's really what you want. You want a daily practice in very small doses for reinforcements. And so, you know, a 2-minute podcast followed by scanning the headlines in your target language. And we kind of have, we're starting to build a short attention span. So that is, you know, actually complementary to this sort of daily practice in small doses of your foreign language.
Spanish is an easier language to learn than French?
No, Spanish and French are actually both Category 1 languages. Mm-hmm. And then some of the harder languages for Anglophones to learn are Japanese, Chinese, and Arabic.
I bet.
Yeah. Actually, they're a category four languages, and they estimate that you need about 3,000 hours of contact to become sort of a high intermediate. And that means, high intermediate means you're not fluent, but you could move quite well in many different situations.
You know, I did do the, and I mentioned during a news break that I did listen to, I think they were the Rosetta tapes for how to learn Italian. And I'd put those in my cassette player in my car at the time before I took a trip to Italy. I just picked up a few words that way. Is that even helpful to do the tapes?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we learn through lots of different ways. So hearing is a great way to learn, but also adults, you know, we're kind of trained to learn through the written word. So seeing is important. But you also have to then cross a barrier, which is actually communicate with someone. And that's where I think a class can be a first step in that. You actually have to open your mouth and speak to other people and listen. And then you need to cross another barrier, which is you go out in a sort of real-life situation and find somebody that you can talk to. And so the human interaction, I think, is huge as well. But listening on your own is one more reinforcement. Contact, contact, contact. If you've ever taken a class from me, you've heard me say that over and over again. The people who have the most contact will get farther faster.
You know, I did see online a video, Sage, that you starred in, and it was it was eye-opening. It was thought-provoking because it was on learning French. And trying to, I think, persuade adults that it's not that scary and that there are so many words in our English language that are derived from other languages, and including a whole bunch of words in French that we use all the time. And I guess it was to tell us, don't be so intimidated. You use some of these words all the time.
That's right. And again, it's playing to our strengths. It's playing to the richness of our background and our knowledge. And I think that's a struggle, I think, for beginning language learners, adult language learners, and that's in part the reason why I did that video. It's an exercise I do in French 1 classes all the time. I just, okay, let's list all the words we know in French, and up to a third to half of our English vocabulary is from the French, thanks to William the Conqueror, and our history. But it is true that adults have this challenge because when we start in a new language, we're stripped, if you will, of our articulateness and our personalities in a way. And so it's very hard to go from sounding like a competent, you know, functioning individual to sort of preschool talk. So that's an emotional barrier, I think, for a lot of adult language learners. And that's where the community can help, as Julie was saying, in a classroom or a meetup group or a conversation partner, where you can, you know, work through some of those barriers and just have fun with it. Try to shed some of that and have a good time.
We are talking about learning new languages with Sage Gellner and Julie Dahl from UW-Madison, and we are welcoming your questions and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Linda in Rome is with us. We have Rome, Wisconsin. I love it. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. Yeah, so this is really interesting to me because I've always wanted to learn languages, and like many people you've talked about, I had 4 years of German in high school and then never really had the opportunity to use it. Well, now that I'm retired, we're traveling more, and so at first I was very intimidated, but I find the more I travel, the more I am at least trying to use the language, and it's working much better. At first, people would stare at me like, what in the world are you saying? And now people are actually understanding me. And then we also have a friend who relocated from Germany and has lived here for many years. And she often will say things, even though she's been an English speaker for a long time, that really come across funny because she's going directly from the German and trying to say it in the English. And so I've learned from her to just take myself lightly and to laugh if I make silly mistakes, because that's how she handles it, and we have the greatest stories because of some of the things she said.
That's great.
So those were my comments.
Linda,
but I had
yeah, go ahead.
I had a question, too. I was just wondering about your thoughts about the immersion programs that you hear about, and how do you, if you think they are good, how do you find good ones, and, you know, that could be helpful?
Mm-hmm. Sage?
Yeah, immersion programs are wonderful, and because of that contact that Julie was talking about, there is no escape in an immersion program, and that's the beauty of it. However, I think it can help, I think, for adults to have a bit of scaffolding before jumping in. So just, again, to prepare yourself and launch yourself in the best possible way. We have great immersion programs in the U.S. I can think of a couple that are closer to us and one that's further away. So Beloit College has summer immersion programs in the critical languages. The Concordia Language Villages, they run wonderful, really fun programs, and they do adult weekends, so a long weekend in German, for example, for you, or an adult week, and they do really culturally specific activities. I took my family when my kids were a little bit younger, and we went to French family camp, and we learned to play the drums from a fellow from Congo, and we sang the songs of the voyageur in the woods, and it's all in the language, and it's a really fun time, and it instantly creates that kind of community that you want. And then sort of I think the really great program in the U.S. is Middlebury in Vermont, and they offer 4 to 7 week programs, I believe. But those are places both closer to home and further flung where you could participate in a good immersion experience.
Really helpful, Linda? Thank you.
Yeah,
well, no, that's all. Thank you so much.
Wait, before you go, Linda, I love how you say good morning in German. Can you do it for us?
A little bit. Guten Morgen.
Morgen.
I do feel confident enough to say that, even to the point now where we travel and most people don't even say that. They just say Morgen. So I feel good about that.
What I love about that is it's so similar to good morning.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's
mm-hmm.
where I presume good morning came from.
Yeah, English is a Germanic language.
Yeah. And, you know, Linda is in the Stevens Point area. And you mentioned some great immersion programs all over the country, for that matter. If somebody doesn't live right here in Madison and can't take courses from you, how might they explore finding a class in the foreign language of their choice?
That's a great question. I would say still first look and see if maybe a local community college offers something. And, you know, explore. There may be some options online. Increasingly, you know, tutors are getting easier and easier to find. You can even find tutors on Skype. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really is, as Sage did earlier, it's an exciting moment. Technology is really making it much easier to have contact with other languages. And so there's so many options. So I think if you start researching, you'll find that there are a lot of things. And then perhaps you could travel somewhere that would give you a more intense contact.
And if you're in a smaller community too, you could look for a meetup group in your language, and if you can't find one, you could make one. So,
yeah, very
start
good.
One.
Very good, Linda. Thank you very much for the call. Does learning one language make it easier to learn another? If you already know a language, does that make it easier to learn another?
Absolutely, especially if you stay within the same language group. For example, if you study a Latin-based language, if you study French, then learning Spanish is going to be easier because there will be a lot of things that are similar, right? But even if you go to something very, very different, you've really sort of worked that language muscle in your brain. You know, our brains really are a muscle, and, you know, you develop skills and ways of going about it, and you can transfer that to a different language.
And let's go to Jerry in Glendale next. Hello, Jerry.
Salve, como tele vu nespa, Peterson, Joy.
I hope that was all okay, was it?
Bonjour, Jerry. Como tele vu?
Well, I have 3 points and then maybe an anecdote or two. The reason that we don't learn languages in the United States, other than that we're unilingual, is that we start too late. We got my daughter in the French immersion program in Milwaukee when she was 4, and now she can parlez-vous with the best Parisian. And the second reason is that we don't study Latin and Greek for the grammar. I grew up in the Catholic tradition, and I was studying Latin at the age of 4, 5, and 6 with my parish priest. And we need that grammar framework. I think the biggest thing that kills a lot of people when they try to learn a language is the subjunctive mood. Mm. And then the third reason is physiology. Most people give up because our muscles are very rigid and they rigidify. They become used to English. And we get discouraged because we can't change that muscle pattern very easily past the age of 19, 20, and 21. Now, my antidote is I did study French before I went to Paris. Went to the French airport, Charles de Gaulle, and I needed to get a locker for my overnight bag. And the attendant there, the supervisor, swore at me using the worst and most vile language curse in the French language. I immediately said to him, I want to see your supervisor. And he was just shocked that an English speaker from America had the command of the argot in French. Mm-hmm. And I think that people really need to get this idea in their children, to get the language long before high school, get it when they're in kindergarten, because the children are less afraid of it, they enjoy it, they have fun with it, and ultimately it becomes a part of their life.
Thank you very much, Jerry. We have news coming up in just a couple of minutes with lots of interesting points. Sage, certainly having kids learn a foreign language is a good idea, but we're also here to say that adults can too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's our job to create and cultivate our children and ourselves as well-rounded global citizens. And so start as early as you can, and if you don't get that head start, start now. Now is just as good a time as any to work on that.
Yeah, I thought that was, that's one advantage of knowing another language, is that if somebody insults you, you can tell them you know what they said. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very good. Is there anything that that Jerry said that you want to expand upon, Julie, when it comes to the language learning?
I just reinforced, something Sage and I both said earlier. So if you look at our stories, we both now are, spend our lives dedicated to a language that we started learning in high school, so sort of after the critical age theory, but both of us were very much exposed to other languages when we were younger. So I think, it's all true, right? So it is crucial we have to teach our kids that languages are important, expose them to it, but there isn't an excuse to say I'm too old.
Yeah. Right. We are talking about learning new languages, and we're welcoming any questions you have, any experiences you have. Do you speak any other languages besides English? Tell us why you decided to learn those languages, or what benefits you think you've gained from learning those languages. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the benefits of learning a new language and talking about how to get started learning a foreign language. And we wonder if you speak any other language besides your first language. And how did it help you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Why do you think learning another language is important if you do? Our guests are Julie Dahl. She directs the Spanish language enrichment courses at UW-Madison and coordinates programs for five other languages. And Sage Gellner is an assistant professor in French in continuing studies at UW-Madison, where she coordinates the French and German programs. And we have other callers, so let's take our next call. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name. How embarrassing. Chokoma in
Hello?
Harmony? How do you pronounce your name?
Chukuma.
All right. Thank you very much. What is your question?
It's a two-part question. One is that is sign language universal, or like would sign language be different if you were French and you were communicating with somebody who was Russian? And then the other question is, what do you know about the language Esperanto, and where would one go to find out more about that?
All right. Who knows the answers to those questions?
Well, I can take the first one a little bit. I don't know much about sign language, but I know that the American Sign Language is at least somewhat different from European Sign Language. So it's not universal, unfortunately. That feels like that would have been an easy one. But I think there was probably, you know, people developing, you know, in different places around the world, people were developing ways for alternative ways to communicate. And they didn't happen in coordination with one another. So there is definitely some difference.
And what about that other language? Does anybody know?
Esperanto? I just have a very vague understanding that it was the dream of a common language. I don't know much about it. I mean, ever since the Tower of Babel, humans have been longing for a language that we all can speak and communicate.
I can add just a little bit. So Esperanto, of course, is a man-made language, right? So it was invented to be the universal language and to be logical, to not have any irregular verbs or anything like that. And, you know, everything follows very set rules. So I think that there still are people who are very active. It wasn't the dream come true that it was meant to be, right? Everybody isn't learning Esperanto. But there are groups that get together. I actually had a student who's very active in a group, and they have like an international conference every year, and he goes to it. So they move it all over the world, and Esperanto learners get together. So my guess is if you Googled it, you could find there is a community out there that is dedicated to continuing to learn it and to teach it to others.
Thanks very much for the call. Bob in Pewaukee is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Guten Morgen. my grandfather, many years ago in World War I, spoke five languages because the countries where even though he wasn't moving, the borders were moving. So he actually became proficient in five languages. And my dad, when he was growing up, didn't actually speak a word of English until he went to grade school. Interestingly enough, when he died in his early 80s, he didn't remember much of the German that he had spoken of, learned when he was a child. So I'm guessing if you don't use it, you lose it. My thought is I would like to learn Spanish. Both of my boys have learned it in school, and I'm gone a lot as a truck driver. And I'm wondering, is there a tape system that or a CD set that you would recommend that I could listen to in the truck while I drive so that it might be beneficial? I don't have a chance to take a class because I'm gone all the time and can't make it to a class. I'm wondering if that's a legitimate way or if I should just try to go online when I get the chance and work it out. But I would like to pick up some Spanish. Any suggestions?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'm not going to be able to come up, I think, with a program. What I might suggest that you do is spend some time when you're home, you know, online, just researching, you know, what's free. There's a bunch of free things. They don't tend to go very far. They tend to all give you an introduction. But learn something about yourself in terms of what works. What format do you sort of need to be able to listen to it in your, you know, when you're on the road? And so since you're on the road, it's going to have to be something that works, that you don't have to have a textbook open in front of you. There are listening activities that only make sense if you're looking at a written word. So what you're going to have to do is find something that it's all in the tape, right? It's telling you what you need to do, you know, giving you the translation, you know, and you don't have to, of course, you can't be reading and driving at the same time, right? So I'd say just take a little bit of time to research some programs. Start with some things that are free. Find out what works for you. And then you may find, you know, a better system that you're going to have to pay for. But you've already kind of weeded out some things that aren't going to work for you.
And what about, Sage, use it or you lose it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like language learning is like playing a musical instrument or dancing or a sport. Anything that requires daily practice, the more you practice, the better you get at it. And that's definitely the case.
And it sounds like Bob can, you know, certainly converse, and his sons know Spanish, mm-hmm. and so they can be, you know, I guess, using it together like that. Is there something, is there something we should consider in terms of choosing the language that we decide to learn?
I was just going to, I think Bob's example is a great one. Find something that you want to connect with or that you're connected to already, whether it's sports or family members or hobbies or cooking, or see if there's a way that you can already parlay that existing passion into your second language. It's true that learning, it's always true that learning comes best with intrinsic desire. So find out what really motivates you and pursue that.
We had Christian in Racine who called, and he says that the drop-off in the study of classical languages, Greek and Latin, is dismaying. He studied Latin in high school and Latin and Greek in college, and he finds that BASE helps him read Romance languages that he doesn't know. So we talked briefly about this, actually, during that last news break, because our previous caller, Jerry, said that he learned Latin in school. And I had mentioned that I wanted to take Latin in high school, but that was the first year that, because there are so few people that wanted to take that elective, that they discontinued the Latin class in my high school. So are you as dismayed, I guess, as Christian, that there's not as much Latin and Greek being taught?
I am. I believe it is the founding, you know, some of the building blocks of definitely the Romance languages, and then, of course, English, which borrows from the Romance languages. I do have good news, though, for those people who want to learn Latin, that the UW Extension offers correspondence courses still in Latin and Greek, so Latin 1 and Latin 2, and I believe we still offer in Greek.
Well, very nice. Well, we'll have to make sure that we have a link to its continuing studies.
Yeah, in collaboration with UW Extension.
Yeah, we'll have to put a link up on our Facebook page so people can check that out too. And in fact, we had other listeners saying that, you know, that we really should be making it mandatory even in elementary schools that children learn another language. I have no idea. It's not mandatory, I presume, at this point in the elementary schools.
At least not at Madison, no.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking a lot about just doing this for, I guess, some personal enrichment and maybe benefits when it comes to traveling. What are some of the other benefits of learning a foreign language?
Well, I think this is a really exciting time again to be. We are learning a lot about our brains. We are learning a lot about our brains learning languages. And so there are actually health, mental health reasons to, brain health reasons to learn a language. It helps with verbal and visual memory. The studies are showing that learning a language or being bilingual or trilingual can help stall the onset of Alzheimer's and other similar kinds of mental decline in old age. So it's as Julie mentioned, the brain is a muscle, and finding new ways to give our brains a workout is really good for our brains. It also has been shown to improve our executive function, especially with kids learning language. So the executive function in the brain is like your command central system. It's what is in charge of organization and time management and planning. So exercising, again, those muscles helps. Language learning muscles helps with the executive function as well. So there are many brain health reasons to take up a new language.
And I would guess that That's all. Those are all wonderful reasons. But I also would imagine that with our global economy, that learning a new language can be good for our profession, our careers.
Absolutely. Actually, the U.S. News and World Report just published an article a couple of days ago about the top four ways to boost your career in 2015. And number one was learn a new language, right? Or better a language that you already speak. So it definitely sets you apart. I think that the day of thinking that we have language experts and then we have, you know, technical professional experts and they're separate categories is going to disappear. I think, you know, companies that want to move globally are going to need people who are trained in their area but also command a language, even if it's not a lot. I mean, I think even if you just can show on your resume that you're studying a language, that you've recently studied a language, you show that you have this ability, that you have this interest, you've already taken the first steps, and I think that's attractive to companies.
Well, we're almost out of time. You want to say Happy New Year or best wishes to our listeners in Spanish, Julie?
Okay. Feliz Año Nuevo.
And in French or German?
Bonne année.
Wonderful. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
Julie Dahl is the Director of Spanish Language Enrichment Courses at UW-Madison. She coordinates the programs for five other languages. And Sage Gellner is an assistant professor in French in continuing studies, where she coordinates the French and German programs. Thanks to Brianne Chasso and to Christy Taylor for producing this program. Thank you for listening. Thanks as well to John Munson, who filled in for me while I was off last week. Stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.